When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitchers.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today, we're going to talk about the Chicago White Sox. If you're just tuning in for the first time, we are covering all 30 starting pitching rotations through the month of January. And I'm recording this at the end of November, early December. So keep that in mind when it comes to free agents, players getting hurt or getting traded from the team. This is the information that I have. Fortunately, we're talking about the White Sox, and Mike Clevinger just signed with the White Sox yesterday. So we've got that down. But yeah, things will change, I understand. But the real analysis of these players does not change for the most part, save for opportunity. And you can probably understand how that would change based on the injury or of a player coming in based on what we talk about. So let's go into it with Dylan Cease. 184 innings, 2.20 ERA, 1.11 whip, 30% K rate, and a 10% walk rate in 2022. If you don't remember last time, this time last year, I was really out on Dylan Cease. I did not anticipate that he would throw a lot more sliders. He threw about 30% of them in 2021, over 40% of them in 2022. Also, his four-seamer reduced its hard contact but 8 points. Those are the major two factors that led to Dylan Cease having this breakout season. I still think he was pitching over his head. In actuality, his final 13 starts of about 80 innings, only a 25% strikeout rate, not that 30%. It was really that first half that was exceptional for Dylan Cease that brought everything down to those extraordinary 220 ERA levels. I think it's a risky proposition to chase Dylan Cease again another year, just considering how much he'll cost at the draft. Seeing a 220 ERA and those boatloads of strikeouts, I get it, but I think you just saw a peak season. I think you saw a guy with a 111 whip who's going to struggle to match that whip in that low hit per nine of 6.2 again. Normally, a 6 hit per nine is safe for the absolute elites of pitchers. I don't think Dylan Cease is elite. I think he's effectively wild, and generally effectively wild means you have a pendulum swing of being really good and then really bad, too. He was known as the premium cherry bomb in 2021. I'm happy for all of you that trusted Dylan Cease that it worked out in 2022. I'm not going to say he's going to be bad for you in 2023, but I think Cease is going to be closer to a 3.4 ERA, 3.5 ERA, with a whip about 115 or something along those lines, as opposed to essentially being the same with a worse ERA. That just doesn't work out like that. You allow more hits, the whip goes up, the ERA goes up, the strikeouts go down. It's all worse. So Cease to me is not the guy I want to take a risk on. And when you're getting Dylan Cease in your draft, you can get much safer options. You can get your Max Fried. You can get your Aaron Nola. I would much rather do that than go after Dylan Cease personally. Another person that I think a lot of people are going to be debating about, I think actually this entire crew is a fascinating one with the White Sox. And Lance Lynn, well, a 3.99 ERA across 121 innings, 113 whip, 24% K rate, and about a 4% walk rate. What's very interesting to me is that last year he had knee surgery in April, didn't return until June 13th. And then we saw him go 7.5 ERA with a 1.53 whip across his first seven starts. And think about that for a second. He did that for the first seven starts and still had a sub-4 ERA and a 1.13 whip. That's because he got rid of the sinker usage that had a 47% hard contact for the season. And then he went his final 86 frames of the year at a 2.52 ERA and a 0.97 whip and 26% K rate after those first seven starts. That is the real Lance Lynn. That, to me, is more in line with 2020 and 2021 Lance Lynn, which essentially just says seven starts after coming back from returning from knee surgery is the only exception across the last three seasons of Lance Lynn. Now, the fastball was a tick down across the year, but it was still a 17% swing striker, one of the highest in all four-seamers in baseball, and the cutter still got strikes. I think this is a steal, honestly. I think Lance Lynn is a fantastic pick to make. It is a question of health. He's going to be 36 next year. I don't think the velocity goes down more. If you don't want him because of the injury, fine. I get it. I'm likely going to have him as my SP3, SP4 in a lot of drafts. SP2, I think, is too much. I think you should be more aggressive getting a better SP2 than Lance Lynn. SP3, I like. I don't love the injury risk. I think that's why he's getting depressed more. But don't depress him in draft based on 3.99 ERA. That, I think, to me is wrong and not the true Lance Lynn. I'm excited about this for next year. And I do want to talk about, of course, Lucas Giolito, Michael Kopech, and Mike Clevinger. But we're going to take a very quick break.
Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom has created weight management programs that are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. So stop chasing health trends and join the millions who have lost weight with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Lucas Giolito, kind of like Lance Lynn. And the reason I say that is because it was a lost season. 162 innings, 4.9 ERA, 144 whip, 25% K rate, 9% walk rate. But his first start of the year, he was pulled from the game with an abdominal issue and then missed 2 weeks on the IL. And Lucas Giolito has said that that injury has affected him the entire season. It wasn't something that just happened for a couple weeks and he was totally fine after that. No, it affected him. And we all know that something was affecting him, because he was sitting about 92 miles per hour, maybe a little bit harder through the year after sitting 94 in previous seasons. By the end, he was 91, sometimes even underneath that. It was so strange to see Lucas Giolito throw 89 mile per hour fastballs. That is just not the guy. So that fastball went down. He allowed more hard contact on it. He jumped 30 points in average. He lost two ticks in swing strike rate to be under 10% on it. His slider also had a loss of velocity. And oh boy, it got destroyed. 34% hard contact allowed, but the changeup action was really good. Kept it down a good amount and still had that 20% swing strike rate. 64% low lock is good for a changeup. And only a 10.7% hard contact rate on that changeup is excellent. So what I see with Giolito is he's going way later in drafts. I mean, I think I was seeing NFBC at the time was around 289. But that's, of course, injury stuff and a lot more question mark. I'm sorry, that's for the next person we're talking about. But still very low in drafts. While I see someone who could explode next year. He's going 153. I take that back. Same with Lance Lynn. Wow. Lance Lynn and Giolito are back-to-back. I don't see a scenario where I draft Lucas Giolito over Lance Lynn. It's not even close to me. But Giolito in your 12 teamers, I don't think is going to be going around 153. I think you're going to see Lucas Giolito go closer to 200. And if that's the case, I'm in, because he's not in your top four starters. He's likely your fifth or sixth. And if you see Giolito going 93 or 94 in the spring and sitting there, not hitting, sitting, that to me says, look, Giolito had this offseason. He was fully healthy. He did what he needed to do for his body. He reset his mechanics, kind of like he did before his breakout season. And then he came out, and there you go. He can do a 170, 180 innings for the White Sox and be a stud again. I love that outcome. I know it's betting on health, but when you see a guy have a bad season and he's discounted in drafts, you have to ask, what is the thing I need to change from 2022 to 2023? Is it more velocity that he would gain, or it would be a pitch selection change or getting whiffs on a pitch? And if it's health is the easiest one to bet on. It's the easiest one to go his way. And so I think that's an easier thing to go for than a lot of other guys that might be falling around that area. You see, also in this, it's very interesting, actually. He's going ahead of Chris Bassett and Pablo Lopez, which I'm actually shocked about. I think people are too high on Giolito. We don't know if the velocity is back yet. This is all NFBC draft champion stuff. Likely will change before the season starts. But yeah, I generally like Giolito if you can get him as your SP5 later on in your draft. Michael Kopech and Mike Clevenger are the final two here. Kopech, 119 innings, 3.54 ERA, 1.19 WHIP, 21% K rate, 11.5% walk rate. All these numbers, to me, honestly, don't matter. Because what a wild, weird season it was for Michael Kopech. The beginning of the year, he was fluctuating with velocity from like 94 to 93 to 97 to 92. It's just back and forth, and eventually it came out that he had this knee injury. He missed some time, was placed in the IL for it, came back, and it was just still could not find any sort of rhythm whatsoever. And I see that in a season. All I think to myself is, okay, it's kind of lost this year, but again, the offseason resets a lot of guys, and they come out in the spring, yet they have a good spring, then they get into the rotation. If there's no interruption, if there's anything that's just kind of smooth through it, a guy like Kopech that has sat 95, 96 in the past with a slider that can miss bats up to 20% of the time, that screams ace. So if you're going for Michael Kopech, go for it later on in your draft. I'm seeing the NFBC ADP around like 290, which would be undrafted in your 12-teamer. Not going to happen in your 12-teamer. Again, those are draft champions, which essentially means that it's a draft and hold. There's no waiver wire play. And I think a guy like Kopech is made for waiver wire play, where if it's not working out early, you drop and you replace. So I love going for those at the end of my drafts. Michael Kopech is one of them that I'm circling saying, okay, make sure you have a guy like Kopech as your like your sixth, seventh starter or whatever it is that could return in a big way, especially if he's getting the Giants and not the Astros in the opening weekend. I'm not sure who's going to get that fourth rotation spot. Could be Clevenger instead of Kopech. Whoever gets that, that's the one I think I do want to target more. Because I would start them in that first game as opposed to sitting them against the Astros. But Kopech, there's fun there. The command is still a question mark. There were times when the curveball and the slider were there this past year. But yeah, there's a lot to work on with Kopech. I'm not sure if it's something that if I had to be a betting man and say it's all going to work out for Kopech, I would say no. I would say I'm not going to take that bet. The end of my drafts, see what happens in the spring. Hopefully he does look like the man we all wanted him to be originally. That's a lot of words on Kopech. Michael Clevenger. It's not Michael. It's Mike Clevenger. Mike Clevenger was just signed to a deal with the White Sox. 114 innings last year with the Padres. 4.33 ERA. 1.20 WHIP. 19% K rate. 7% walk rate. I'll put this quickly. Mike Clevenger was not good last year recovering from Tommy John. He was sitting about 93, 94 after going about 95 before Tommy John. He also stopped missing bats with a slider. About a 13% swing strike rate is not the 18, 20% we saw beforehand. That said, he is a tinkerer. He is someone who is not going to just accept what he is now and that's it. He's going to go. He's going to use Edutronic, all the stuff, Repsoto, all of it through the entire offseason. Try and figure this out. Try and get his velocity back. Try and get his slider back. And if he does, well, that could be a really interesting play. Concerning even despite having those struggles with his fastball and his slider, 1.20 WHIP and 4.33 ERA, which I know is not good for fantasy, but it's not like he just fell off and was the worst pitcher ever. So I think Clevenger has an opportunity here for the White Sox. He's essentially going undrafted. And again, like Kopech, if Clevenger is getting that start against the Giants and not the Astros one, I might be inclined to see how that first start is. Monitor this in the spring, like all of those guys, like Giolito, like Lynn, like Kopech, like Clevenger. I really need to see velocity numbers on those guys, see how they're working with their sliders, really their secondary stuff. And Clevenger could be sneaky. You know, it was his first year back from Tommy John. Second year back, he could be making more of the adjustments that he needs as opposed to just being healthy. Now he is healthy, make those changes. And hopefully he's a better pitcher in 2023. As far as anyone else for the White Sox, I imagine there's going to be someone else that they do sign. That's my bet as of this moment, because Davis Martin is currently their sixth. That doesn't seem right to me. I don't think Davis Martin is someone you care about in 12-teamers. Slider can be very interesting, but I think the whole overall package is nothing to report on. There were some talks about Garrett Crochet being a starter last year, but we all know how that went. Poor guy. But yeah, it's there's not much else here. So I imagine they get some depth starter, which might mean that Kopech is in a weird place to start the year. Monitor that, of course. But that's your rotation for the Chicago White Sox. Thanks for tuning in for another edition of the Plus Pitch Podcast. As always, make sure you rate and review not only the Plus Pitch Podcast, but of course the Pitchless Fantasy Baseball Podcast Network. But that's it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.